Good morning, and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call and or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Busy Monday show coming up. A couple of guests today. We did talk to Gunnar Raymer last week from Republican Voters Against Trump, and they have campaigns going on all around the country and talking to former Republican voters on why they will not be casting their ballot for the former president this time around. And one of those voters in Wisconsin, Ethan, is going to be joining us coming up at 10:50 to talk about how he came to this decision, what it was that finally put him over the edge and said, I can't do this again. I think it'll be an interesting conversation.
I'm always interested in hearing the stories of individuals like this who, I mean, that can't be easy. As I said to Gunnar, he said in his interview with us, he was against Trump from the beginning, which could not have been an easy fight
at all
with people in his own party for 10 years. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Ethan has to say.
Ethan will be joining us coming up at 11:53. At 11:33, we talked to her last year about this same topic, about monarch butterflies and how important it is that we plant accordingly and try and give them some habitat, because we're going to lose them otherwise.
Yeah. And we all know your feelings of winged creatures.
I love it. Winged things.
Yes,
I do. So Karen will be joining us at 11:33. If you have any questions for her, you can always text him in again at 855-75-CIVIC. Wanted to start off, though, with tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
It's election day tomorrow, Greg Bach.
No.
Yes, it is. And it's a big, big election here in Wisconsin. We've been talking about this quite a bit over the last couple of weeks on what is on the ballot, why it's important, what it means. And in fact, we had Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters on, I believe it was last week.
Yes.
And especially talking about the two referendum that are going to be on the ballot tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So we're going to rerun that interview with Deborah tomorrow at 11:33. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure what's on the ballots, what this means, she really does a terrific job explaining the ramifications and what might be some of the potential, who's behind this push to put in these new referendum and change the state constitution.
Again, like trying to do that again. And I will say, too, Pat had her on Up North News Radio this morning at 7:30 in the morning. And that interview is also available if you want to listen to that too. I feel like Deborah is a great resource.
She's so great.
Our interview, his interview, get as much information and go to League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Excuse me. They really break it down as well. So,
well, and you can also go back to last week to our podcasts at civicmedia.us in case you're not going to be able to join us tomorrow when we do that rerun at 11:33. So you can listen to that chat with Deborah Cronmiller. If you just go back to civicmedia.us, click on Matinair on Air, and that will take you to all of our previous broadcasts. Mm-hmm. They're broken down into 2 hours at a crack, so it's a little bit easier for you to listen to. Republicans will be choosing between 5 candidates on the ballot tomorrow for president. Remarkably, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, and former President Donald Trump, although Donald Trump is the only candidate still in the race.
Yeah. Who are you voting for, Jay?
And then President Biden will be on there with Minnesota Congressman Dean Phillips, who also has dropped out
a long time ago.
And no one knew who he was.
Yeah.
And there is also a third option, and we talked about this a little last week, the uninstructed delegation. Some progressives are pushing for this in protest of President Biden's handling of the war between Israel and Hamas. In my estimation, you are making it easier for Donald Trump to win. If you're going to throw away your vote like that in a protest vote, you're throwing it away.
I think that I understand why people want to do this, and I know people who are going to do this, but I think it makes Democrats, liberals, the movement of keeping Donald Trump from having a second term makes the party look fractured. I know that Israel and Gaza are an important topic and people want a ceasefire. I want a ceasefire.
I think most people want a ceasefire.
I do not think this is the way of going about to do it, because who's your other option in the party then? Who are you going to vote for? Nobody. And that doesn't make a good statement when you say you don't believe in the guy in office right now.
Well, and if you think that the former president is going to treat Palestinians and the situation in the Middle East with a more gentle hand.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're delusional.
I spent all weekend on Twitter, like, seeing people who support the former president equating Palestinians and members of Hamas as the same people and saying some pretty vicious things. So I do not think for a moment that President Trump in 2025 will come in with an even-keeled hand and say, let's settle this amicably and with peace and with prosperity. No.
There have actually been some members of the Republican Party who have basically said, yeah, just bomb them off the face of the earth.
Yes. So using horrible language to describe women and children and men, innocent people who are just trying to survive.
We have Lou from Cudahy on the line. Good morning, Lou. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, I voted last week early voting at City Hall. I voted for both those amendments because I don't want the amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution, because I don't want Mark Zuckerberg throwing his Zuckerberg dollars into an election and contaminating in such a fashion. It's unbelievable, outrageous that a private citizen can come over and take over the elections operation like they did in Green Bay. So much, it was so egregious that the clerk quit and walked off. It's obscene that you guys would say, yeah, that's okay. It's not okay.
Lou, do you think Mark Zuckerberg came in and went to certain municipalities and said, I want you to take this money? Do you think that's how it worked?
The five cities, he sent his representatives in there, and they threw all this cash out there. I think I heard a number that he spent $400 million around the country.
In five cities?
Lou, you know that people applied for grants. They applied for grants in order to get this money to help run the elections. And this money was used in particular when we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic. And the state legislature has not necessarily been funding local elections to the extent that they need to be funded. And so that money was used for PPE and masks and hand sanitizer and things like that. And it's not like Mark's... There were Republican areas that received this grant money, too.
And so the election was interfered with by a private citizen who has lots of money.
How did he interfere? Yeah. All he did was provide funds so they could effectively run their own elections. It's not like they were sending buses out to pick up particular people to bring them to the polls.
And contaminate. It's unbelievable.
So, Lou, you're not going to even listen to what we have to say on this matter. I would actually suggest you listen to the Deborah Kronmiller interviews, because she talks about the fact that local elections take money from outside groups on
all
a regular basis. Nothing nefarious happens. Nothing is being tampered with. And if we're talking about the 2020 election, the Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, even said this was a fair, it was a free, and it was a balanced election, and that Joe Biden won. So this is a scare tactic to put an amendment on the Constitution that could come to bite us all in the behind later on. So,
well, and the other one too, not just about this money being used to help municipalities host their own elections. The second referendum question is very, very murky on who constitutes an election worker. And so there are groups that do just basic election education that could get in trouble because this is not clearly defined. At least that's my understanding of it.
And polling places need help.
Absolutely. If you're really concerned about our democracy, I highly encourage you. Every municipality is looking for more poll workers for November.
If you're truly about great elections and a smooth election, we need proper funding, and we need staff. We need people there to do it. And these two amendments would do the opposite, and they would keep the elections from running fairly. They would keep it slow and disenfranchise people from voting at all.
The questions were added to the ballots, these two referendum questions, in response to the 2020 election, when a number of Wisconsin municipalities did accept private money to help cover the cost of running elections and pay for things like masks, like we said, sanitation and social distancing during the pandemic. This is an article from Channel 3000. So thank you, Lou, for chiming in. I appreciate it. But as Greg said, too, I highly encourage you to go to civicmedia.us, go to Matt and Air on Air, and click on that, and then look back to our interview with Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters. She does a really good job of explaining what this will do to our state constitution and what the potential ramifications can be down the road.
That was last Tuesday at 11:30.
Thank you very much, Greg Bach. If you want to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, whatever you do, go vote tomorrow.
Yes.
Go to myvotewi.gov if you're not sure what's on your ballot, where you need to cast your ballot. Myvote.wi.gov. It's a great resource, and it is truly, everyone, it is critically, critically important that we all vote.
Yes.
Don't think primaries aren't important. Because they are.
Every election's important.
At this point, yes, every election is critically important. All right. When we return, I think the county executive of Milwaukee County did a good thing.
What?
Yeah. We'll talk about that. Because I was a little irritated about this. We'll talk about this on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She don't mean no harm. She just.
And welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show, join the conversation, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is in the process of ruining. Before we get to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley did that I think is a good thing. Some breaking news this morning,
yes,
related to Wisconsin State Assembly. Representative John Macko, Republican from Ledgeview, announced he will not be seeking re-election after a decade in the Assembly. After careful consideration, Rep. John Macko says, I have decided not to seek re-election to the Wisconsin State Assembly's 88th District. Elected service has been and continues to be a high honor of citizenship. My wife, Lynn, and I look forward to enjoying a Wisconsin summer, spending quality time with my family, working to grow her new business, and seeing that Republicans remain the majority party in the Wisconsin legislature.
I mean, he could enjoy a Wisconsin summer this year. He's off of work.
True.
And also, it's weird, as they said in the song by Cameo, Word Up, it's weird that after a decade of service, just now's the time to shuffle on. It's almost like he would have had to campaigned
and done like work.
Yeah.
And not just coast to re-election because there are going to be new maps.
Exactly.
Huh. I mean,
it's, and
we don't know this.
We have no idea. None whatsoever. But of course, it's about spending time with that family. It's always about spending time with the family, Jane.
No one's going to say, I want time off so I can get away from my family because they're driving me crazy. All right. In a surprise move, this is from Vanessa Swales in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In a surprise move, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley vetoed a county board resolution that would give 36% pay raises to the county's treasurer, county clerk, and register of deeds. The county board voted 16-1 in favor, with Sheldon Wasserman casting the only no vote. Yeah. Supervisor Ryan Clancy was not present during the vote. So that would have meant Treasurer David Cullen, County Clerk George Christensen, and Register of Deeds Israel Ramon, who are currently paid about $91,500 a year.
Ain't bad work if you can get it.
Would have seen their pay jump about $33,000. That's a big raise.
That's a big raise for jobs described in that article as not that difficult to do.
There is a blistering article, and Maggie Dawn had Bruce Murphy from Urban Milwaukee on her show to talk about this. Bruce Murphy had this column in Urban Milwaukee called Top County Jobs No Longer Needed?
Yeah.
Again, talking about these three positions, and it's pretty astonishing. In 1988... a former alderman and bank executive, Kevin O'Connor, ran for and won the county treasurer job just to prove how little work it took. He quit after about a month, telling the media the job took 45 minutes a day. At the time, that salary was $42,517. At that time, he said he was earning $234 an hour.
Once again, not bad work if you can get it.
I think this is fascinating that these positions, again, at least according to this Bruce Murphy column in Urban Milwaukee, says that these three positions could be squished into one.
Yeah.
And one person could handle all of it.
Yeah. I mean,
that would seem to be fiscally responsible to me.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was clear that County Exec Crowley was on board with passing those. He was saying, yes, we need to stay. And I do understand part of the reasoning, which is in a growing economy like Milwaukee, you want to attract good
talent. Sure.
And you have to be competitive. I get that. As someone who worked in local government who was paid far below what that was attracting, I understand why you'd want to do that. But I say kudos to Exec Crowley for making the decision. And maybe, you know, turn it into one position that it does require a person to do the actual work.
Well, I don't have a lot of confidence about that, considering that all the county supervisors voted in favor of this enormous raise for these three people.
Yeah. I mean,
so the likelihood of them being condensed seems pretty far-fetched. David Crowley did say, quote, "We must be fiscally responsible stewards for Milwaukee County taxpayers. We need to promote fiscal responsibility and thoughtful spending at every turn. We also must maintain our commitment to equity at all levels of county government."
Can't say equity nowadays. You're going to make
it's a bad word.
You can't say equity, inclusion, or diversity. Don't say any. And you put all three of them together, it's like the triumvirate of snowflake melting.
Well, and again, I applaud Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley for not passing on these raises. When you consider that MPS is going to taxpayers for this big school referendum.
Yep.
That's essentially going to increase their property taxes by $400 or more.
Yeah.
So going ahead and passing out these raises to what looked like questionable positions, I think that was a good call.
Yeah. I'm very happy that Mr. Crowley did that. So let's just take it a step further now.
Well, and again, I would like to see if they could look at combining these three positions, because the county is still having money challenges.
Yeah.
That's not going to go away. The treasurer job, according to this column from Bruce Murphy in Urban Milwaukee, the treasurer job was long known as a great place for a guy with a hobby.
I have a hobby.
Tom Zablocki worked on his stamp collection. In the late 80s, was clocked by reporters as spending less than 4 hours a day on the job. His successor, Paul McCormick, was said to favor crossword puzzles. Tom Mew, who served in the treasurer job in the 90s, played a lot of golf.
Once again, man, I don't want to take people's money, but I would love to just have like a job like that for a year. Save up some good money and be right? Like, all right, this job is terrible. I'm going to go do something. It's just like, how do people fail up to these positions?
And then never have to move on.
Yeah.
Dorothy Dean, who was in that position from 2000 to 2005, told Bruce Murphy in 2002 in Milwaukee Magazine, all three county constitutional officers, county clerk, treasurer, and register of deeds could be combined into one job. We have Don from Milwaukee is on the line. Real quickly, Don, thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
I'll call back.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Don.
Good talk, Don.
We do have news coming up next, in the next half hour, coming up at 10:50. We're going to be talking to Ethan, who lives in Wisconsin. He is a Republican voter against Trump, and we will find out what his reasoning is and how he is feeling about the upcoming election. As I said, news is on the way next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show. Call, text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment there as well. We were talking about David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive, right before we went to the news, and his decision not to award raises to three positions in Milwaukee County government, which I think is a good thing. And at least from what I have been reading, it looks like those positions could all be combined into one job. Don from Milwaukee has called back. Thank you for waiting, Don. What did you want to say?
I saw that article in the journal, and I could not believe my eyes because the city of Milwaukee is... Those politicians are quite famous for taking our taxpayer money. Remember the lump sum payment? When the hell is that ever going to stop? I saw a guy last week again. I don't know for what position he held for the city of Milwaukee. It's like winning the jackpot. They're not satisfied with just a pension, but they got to have a lump sum payment, too. And we need potholes. The people need a lot of things fixed here in the city. Then they cry, oh, we're short on the pension, police pension fund. Well, yeah, if you do that, you're going to always need money. And then I saw, too, okay, now Cavalier Johnson, the mayor, was able to get some revenue from the city. Now there's rumor that the aldermen's want a pay raise. Now, I don't know if that went through or not. See, so that is my comment, and it's kind of sad, you know, because I love city of Milwaukee. I got here in 1960, and it was beautiful. You could get a job every day of the week. We had, it was just a wonderful city. And doing this lump sum stuff and that wrecks everything. They're so greedy, these politicians.
I appreciate your call, Don. Thank you so much for listening. And I know what he's talking about, that that lump sum payout with the pensions, which goes back several decades now, that was really blew up what I believed was Milwaukee's reputation as having really clean government.
Don's right. This did not maybe go through. It went through.
The alderman pay raise?
Yeah. In January. I'm looking at it right now. How will the so the mayor, city attorney, municipal judge, comptroller, which, come on, city treasurer, common council member, common council president all saw increases. Common council members went from $73,222.24. Reminder, they meet during the day when you can't really get to a meeting. They're now going to be making $84,205.58. Common council president, $82,749.16, up to $94,310.25.
Wow.
And the mayor himself got a hefty $22,000 pay rise on the heels of a 2% tax increase. And I didn't mention city attorney, which also got about a $22,000 raise. They're all about
the same.
$22,000 a piece.
Well, and granted, you know, I'm sure they haven't been given a raise in a long, long time, but that's a tough sell. Although it's done. It's a done deal.
It's
so
finished, yeah.
It's done.
There are other pay rises amongst unelected officials as well. This is, like I said, this is from January. And Don, thanks for calling in and bringing this to our attention. I will link this specific article so you can see what they are making the show. I don't disagree. The mayor of a city the size of Milwaukee should be making money. That was my big complaint when I worked for John Dickert in Racine. He was making so little money because like two mayors before him, it was a part-time job.
Oh, wow.
Then they made it a full-time job. And they were like, but we're not going to give you more money. So it's not a great look.
No, it's not a good look.
It's not a great look.
No, it's not. It really isn't. And again, when MPS is coming forward with that big $252 million referendum question tomorrow. So, all right, we're going to switch gears a little bit because I think it's really important to remember that so much of what's happening, at least in the presidential race, is not normal.
No.
This is not normal behavior by a normal, healthy person. So on Friday, as a reminder, it was Good Friday. On Friday, the former president, Donald Trump, took to his social media platform and posted a short video, included an image of President Biden hogtied and essentially held hostage in the back of a pickup truck.
Yep.
That's what he put on his social media platform on Good Friday.
That decal is commercially available.
Are you serious?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I've seen it on more than one truck. And I told you the story. I was at my old job and a guy came up to me and he showed me a picture of that. And I said right to his face, that's not funny. It's not funny. It wouldn't be funny if Donald Trump was hogtied. It wouldn't be funny if George Bush, Barack Obama, Andrew Jackson, I wouldn't care. It's not good form.
No, it's not.
It's disgusting.
And when we have people who are taking things into their own hands and threatening our elected officials, threatening our judges, threatening our clerks to do things like this, in my estimation, encourages that behavior.
Yeah.
And is also the potential for someone to take that a step further. This kind of stuff is dangerous and it's not normal. And we have to stop pretending like it is and like it's not a big thing. Like it's, oh, it's just a joke. It's fine. No, it's really not fine.
No, because there were people who invaded the Capitol on January 6th of 2021 who were saying, hang Mike Pence and searching for the Speaker of the House. This is not normal and this is not good behavior. I mean, the Easter tweet on Truth Social alone should give you pause on who's running for president right now.
Calvin, I want you to play this clip. This is GOP Representative John Bacon, who is a Republican. On Meet the Press, Kristen Welker asked him about this post from Donald Trump showing President Biden hogtied in the back of a truck. And this was his reaction. Play that clip, Calvin, please.
Let me ask you, this week, GOP presumptive nominee Donald Trump shared a video of an image of President Biden bound and restrained in the back of a pickup truck. The Biden campaign responded and said that Trump is, quote, regularly inciting political violence. The former president also attacked the daughter of the judge overseeing his hush money trial in New York. Given that you have endorsed Donald Trump, do you also endorse this threatening rhetoric, Congressman?
I don't support the rhetoric. By the way, we see rhetoric on both sides. I'm the target of a lot of rhetoric on both sides. And I would want us to raise the bar of civility and how we treat the other side of the aisle, for sure. Now, I don't think he was inciting violence.
No, he was.
No.
And Kristen Welker should have called him out and said, give me the examples of the both sides. Show me one tweet or comment from the Biden White House that is even remotely close to what we're seeing from the other side.
And even if you are including the greater span of people who are not fans of you, I would like to see a tweet or a picture of you, sir, hogtied in a truck as well, because it most likely doesn't exist.
This is not healthy.
No.
This is not good.
No.
And this whole both sides do it. No, they don't.
Tired of that. I'm so tired of people who won't take a stand or won't just call out their own shenanigans. Look, I will say things about Joe Biden. I'll say things about Barack Obama. I voted for both of them. That's just what you do. But when you can't take the blinders off and you can't like show any sort of fault, that's the problem. Is Donald Trump never sees fault in anything he does. So everyone who loves him adopts that same idea. It's either don't admit fault or try to wiggle your way out of any sort of responsibility for the matter. And this guy's saying, well, both sides, BS.
The other thing that really struck me, especially yesterday, March 31st, for those who don't know, is and has been since, I think, 2009.
Yeah.
March 31st is the International Transgender Day of Visibility.
Correct.
Every March 31st in his term so far, President Biden has put out a statement acknowledging International Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yep.
What did some people do, Greg Bach?
They took it really well and went back to their Easter celebration.
No, not exactly.
Searching for eggs and having chocolate.
No, they accused President Biden of blaspheme because March 31st was Easter, as well as International Transgender Day of Visibility. And the thing that struck me the most, all of this outrage coming from Christians. You know the interesting thing about Easter as a holiday, Greg Bach?
What's that?
It moves.
No way.
It moves every year.
And for those not watching the live stream, the air quotes that Jane was doing on the word Christians were doing some heavy lifting.
Well, if you are such a devout Christian, you would know.
Yeah.
That the Easter holiday moves because it's related to the last full moon or something like that. So
it just sounds like some witchery right there.
International Transgender Day of Visibility happens every year on March 31st. Also, yesterday just happened to be Easter.
Yep.
I remember the year that my father passed away. The day of his funeral was April Fool's Day and Easter.
Well, how dare your father have a funeral on that day when Easter bunnies and Jesus and transgender people are all trying to just...
It was Good Friday.
Oh, anyway, never mind. You're fine.
Yeah, which again. But truly devout people would know that Easter moves every year instead of claiming that this was some outrageous, disrespectful slam on Christians. It's absurd.
I would venture to say that the people who are upset don't care about your logic. The people who are good Christians, who are just, you know, yesterday was Easter, it was the day that our Lord rose, and it's also a trans day of visibility. Great. Those people are saying to you, yeah, of course, it's just how the calendar works. But some people can't be reasoned with. And some of them invented a social media platform just to get the point across. So yeah, those individuals kind of, I bin them into, I don't got time for that. I got bills to pay.
Carmela from Milwaukee is on the phone. Good morning, Carmela. Thanks for your patience. What did you want to say?
I wanted to say good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Remember Kathy Griffith and when, where she had held up Trump's head, she did a photo.
Oh, yes. Of course. I remember that.
And Right, and all what she had to go through with the FBI and being interrogated and investigated, and I think it went on for a couple of years. So why isn't that happening to Trump doing the exact same thing?
That's a very good question, Carmela, but as we've seen tragically, there is no accountability with him. He threatened Judge Chutkan and his daughter again on Friday, posted this woman's picture. These people are going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Someone's going to take this to the next level and take it into their own hands, and someone's going to get hurt.
And just like everything else has happened, he will not have to take responsibility for it. And he won't take responsibility for it because it's never his fault.
Well, and then you have people in his party who say, well, it's, you know, both sides do the same thing. Both sides are the same. No, they're not the same. And I'm not saying Democrats aren't perfect by a long shot. And they have their own issues and their own problematic members.
Yeah.
But at least as far as I have seen, I have not seen the level of violent rhetoric directed at that side as there is towards Democrats. Thank you, Carmela, very much for calling, and thank you for listening. We have a guest when we return, a Republican voter against Trump. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Calvin Bach, Craig Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Such a Monday. You can always join us, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Last week, we talked to the political advisor, director for Republican Voters Against Trump. Gunnar Raymer was here, and he had suggested that we talk to some Wisconsin voters who did vote for Donald Trump and now say they will not. And I'm delighted to have Ethan from Wisconsin is joining us on the live stream to talk about his journey. Thank you so much, Ethan. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
If you don't mind, Ethan, before we get our conversation going, Calvin, play a little bit of Ethan's testimonial, and you can find all of these, again, at the website, Republican Voters Against Trump. Take a listen.
I'm Ethan, and I voted for Donald Trump in 2020. January 6th was the end of Donald Trump for me. I could not believe what was happening before my eyes, watching what was an insurrection at the Capitol, which was, in my mind, unquestionably led by Donald Trump. I think what Donald Trump did on January 6th was dangerous for multiple reasons. Number one, he put the lives of police officers, congressional leaders, and military personnel, at the end of the day, in jeopardy. And it was a total repudiation of the Constitution and American standing in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
That's Ethan from Wisconsin, who is joining us now live on the show, but that's his testimonial on the website, Republican Voters Against Trump. Ethan, what is it like for you to hear people try and downplay what happened now on January 6th? Because they're still doing it.
Oh, yeah. It's very frustrating. I mean, I still have many Republican friends. Mm. You know, despite my having gone, you know, off the rails with my viewpoint and their view, and it's very frustrating to listen to them try to explain away January 6th as some peaceful visitors walking through the Capitol, or, you know, in some cases, it's just they'll refuse to watch the video of what happened. And yeah, it just stuns me. It's frustrating. I don't know how to deal with it.
How do you not see it?
So what you're telling me is they have all these opinions about what happened on January 6th, but they haven't watched any of the footage of it because they don't want to see it.
Well, yeah, yes, I will. You know, and these are some people who, you know, I would say are they're otherwise very intelligent people who I've respected for a long time on many other fronts. And you know, I'll kid them that, okay, you know, I can't argue with you about this. It doesn't make any sense. We're not going to get anywhere if you won't even watch the video. And, you know, I can't solve your cognitive dissonance of not being able to deal with watching that video.
Perfect. That's exact cognitive. Thank you. It's exactly what it is. I mean, it's been, you know, as someone who watched it happen live on television, I was at work and I remember saying to my coworkers, I said, I think something's happening right now and it does not look good. It went from a horrible thing to watch to the corrupt FBI and Antifa, Black Lives Matter. And I like to throw in a dash of Hunter Biden's laptop in there. Now they are heroes and hostages who are in jail, and there's no connecting tissue to any storyline because they keep changing it because the person in charge keeps changing the storyline, and they're like, yeah, works for me.
It's every time you bring up something else, there's a different twist to the story that is come up with, and I'll look at some of them and say, you know, stop Baghdad bobbing me on this whole thing.
That's a reference.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You can't watch the video and tell me that what happened didn't happen.
Yeah.
Seriously, I can't imagine, Ethan, your frustration and the amount of courage it took for you to put yourself forward and put yourself in the public. As you said, you still have many friends who are Republicans. We can't get members of Congress to do that. Yet we have regular people who are standing up and saying, what happened was wrong. This is bad. We don't want this again. So I really applaud you for that. I do.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, typical Midwesterner. I can't take a compliment.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I don't know if it was courage so much. It's just frustration. And you get to the point where it's, well, what the hell can I do? And this I saw as, you know, an opportunity where, yeah, this election could potentially come down to a few thousand votes. If my video can persuade 10 people that there's unicorns like me out there who are the same as them, you know, it's worth doing, I guess.
You are absolutely right. And that is the big work. I mean, and as Jane said, putting yourself out there. I mean, Gunner told us last week he was not down for Trump from the beginning. And I mentioned to him, that must have been quite a battle for all those years. Where you came out of from January 6th, that turned a lot of people's tides and really turned them off to him. And really just like, and that, like, for the other point is like, I think we all want to, we respect police officers. We respect the institution, but none so more than the GOP. And to see the GOP really, in my opinion, spit on the memory and the sacrifice of those who were involved in this incident, it doesn't make sense to me. And it seems so hypocritical.
Yeah, I do not get it. I can't explain it. Yeah. I feel like Ronald Reagan these days, you know. Reagan always said that, you know, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me.
Yep.
Yeah. I now feel the same way with the Republican Party.
I'm sure. Ethan from Wisconsin is our guest. He is a Republican voter against Trump, and we had been talking about January 6th, which was kind of the deciding moment for you, Ethan. I'm wondering also if you are at all concerned about the U.S. and Donald Trump's promises for us to leave NATO.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, again, I am a Reagan Republican. I'm a, largely a foreign policy hawk in terms of my political views. And I think, it's absolutely appalling to threaten to leave NATO. You can have some legitimate arguments, I think, about the other countries paying their fair share and, being involved in that. But yes, leaving NATO And the whole Ukraine thing, I mean, it's what of all the policies of Biden that I don't agree with, actually, Ukraine is one I agree with.
Ethan is a voter from Wisconsin. You can see his testimonial on the website Republican Voters Against Trump. We will put that link in with our show notes. Ethan, really appreciate your time. Thank you so very much for joining us. Maybe we can reach out to you again before the election in November.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Stay close. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My baby don't care.